Japan 2.0.
Tell me where you want to go.
You see me on your television. You hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes.
But tell me where you want to go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me where you want to go.
2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2. This is David, and we're here today to talk to you about
Our experiences with English. And that might sound strange, but because since we are speaking English right now,
but we're in a country where English is not that prevalent compared to a lot of countries in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of countries, maybe English isn't their first language, but still the English levels, because it is the global language, you know, it's still quite high. I would say, you know, I've been in a good number of countries in my life, and Japan's down there in terms of the availability of English, especially if you're outside of Tokyo.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a surprise when you first come, and especially if you've been traveling around Asia, because if you go, I've been in, you know, Korea and Thailand and Malaysia and stuff.
Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly. And in all these countries, there's like a lot of English, a lot of English help, a lot of English signage, a lot of English
we
speakers.
Do, you know, when you do travel, maybe you're in touristy areas too, or we live here and we're not really in tourist. I bet, you know, if you're in Downtown Bori, you'd probably be all right.
Yeah.
So something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, when you live here, it can be rough. However, there's kind of an interesting side to it all, and there's something that's pretty famous, and if you go on the internet at all to prepare to come to Japan, I think it's something you'll definitely read about, which is that you do get some people who like to speak English, and they'll come up to you to, you know, just have a little conversation.
Yeah.
It happens from time to time.
Yeah, I think, you know, our first introduction to this was probably in Korea. In Korea, it's very common.
It happened way more there.
Come up to you on a train, or and it's somebody who just wants to chat with you for a few minutes. A lot of people that were working there at the time, and a lot of people that, you know, I've met or worked with, would say that they hated it.
That's right.
So they said they hated it because they thought somebody was trying to get
used
free English lessons.
Classic. Yes. And that's what I read about before I came. So I thought it was going to be this bad thing. And the thing in my mind I had it equated to was like being approached by someone for money in the States, right? When you like take a train and someone comes up to you and they're, you know, they kind of don't leave, or I don't know, it can be a bit hostile, right? I thought it was going to be like that. Just the way I'd read about it is so negative. I've never heard anyone say, oh, this really cool thing happens. Like, yeah, you know, you get to, like, meet friends or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
There was never, ever that attitude. And I've, you know, talked to other people since I've been here. And like you were saying, I've confirmed it with, you know, not just angry people on the internet. But, yeah, I think that's a general consensus from a lot of people is, getting used for free English lessons.
Yeah, I still hear people say that sometimes, and it...
Yeah,
they go down in my
we haven't talked about this, but I think it's safe to say that Matt and I both don't feel that way about it. I kind of like it.
Yeah, and I don't care if they're practicing their English. I mean, that's cool, you know. I mean, the same people that say like, "Oh, they're getting free English lessons after me," are usually the first person to complain that something's not in English for them or more convenient for them in the country, you know.
Yeah, for me it can be a little isolating not being great at Japanese here. So, I kind of miss it's very ironic because I hated small talk back home. I hated just sharing an elevator and chatting someone up, you know? But when you don't have it in a number of years, it's kind of nice to get a couple times a year, you know? And so I really like it. It feels just friendly and nice. And I always feel like if I wanted to, I can't, like, go grab a coffee with that person. It feels genuine every time to me.
Yeah.
It never feels fake. And I feel like the only reason we stop is because it's my subway stop, or, you know, like, I got to turn this way or something. But
how do you do? How do you do? How are you? I'm fine. What do you doing? I'm sick. What did you do today? I did a sound check. Nice meet you.
Well, there's some awkward ones, I guess.
Well, I think I'm going to go transition into my first story.
All right.
Because,
is this your first
one?
Yeah,
because I feel like you kind of what you're talking about, and it takes place here at your your station.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, when I first moved to Japan, my wife and I were staying at your place. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And when we got to we had a ton of luggage, and we were taking the subway. And if you've ever tried to ride the subway with a ton of luggage in Japan, it can be really
different
hectic.
From traveling. When you're living here, you have like your whole life in bags. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
And so we were exhausted when we got to Suma, here in Kobe. And this guy came up to us and he's like, do you need help with your bags? And he started talking to us in English. This was, you know, just off of the planes, just off of the subway, you know?
Yeah.
And we were like, sure, you know, thanks for the help. And the guy, he seemed a little, I don't know.
Off.
Yeah. It wasn't that his English was quite good. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty good for, you know, for... in general, I think. And he was asking us where we were from and where we were going and stuff. And he was just a super nice guy. I'll say his name, Yuji. I'm sure he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Well,
but
I had known the guy, actually.
Yeah, David knows him, too.
He would call him a friend of the show who's been on before. Sometimes he would, I think, hassle him for, like, lowering book prices in his library and stuff like that. So that was his reputation for me.
At the book fair?
At the book fair, yeah.
Oh, okay. But I mean, hey, he's trying to get a deal, you know? Yeah. I mean, more power to him. I think after talking with the guy a little bit more, I mean, he did seem a little bit slow or maybe, like, had a mental condition.
But it didn't limit him from learning English.
No, but his English was really good. And we did end up having, you, like you were saying, have a cup of coffee with them or something. We did. We went out for dinner with him. We bumped into him again, and we were so grateful for his help that we went out to dinner with him, and he was so happy, you know, to do that. And we had a great conversation with him. He was talking about how he likes living here in Sumahama, and I mean, he was a little limited as to what he could talk about, you know, in conversation. But
I'm having all these other ones pop up. You've had a lot. You've had more than me.
Yeah, but that was a really awesome. That was my first experience, and a really awesome experience. And you know, hey, shout out to Yuji. You know, if you do listen, off chance that you do listen, you know,
thanks.
You know, thanks a lot. You know, and hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I've only ever had three that I can talk about. I'll save the best for last, which happened. It's just kind of sparking this episode that happened recently.
Come again soon. Yes, I'm sure. Say hello to mama. Yes, I will. Oh, what's the matter? Nothing. What's the problem? It's okay. Sorry.
My first one was probably my first year here, and I do think there's something about, like, being new and, like, is it doe-eyed?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, just looking around and all, and you probably don't have a phone yet. Your head's probably not in your phone because you don't have, you know, you haven't gotten your soft bank yet. And you might not be listening to music. So I think you're just more vulnerable to it. Because it happened to me then. The one I had happen recently, I was with a guy who was here for 2 days. You were just here and you had it happen. So I think that is kind of a theme. It was just a really old lady, and I could just feel her eyes on me, you know, for a long time, which, you know, sometimes happens when you look different from everyone else. And she just finally, you know, just talked, and the very typical start to this conversation always starts with,
Where are you from?
Yeah, where are you from? That's always how they start. And so I just ran the gambit. Why are you here? You know, do you like Japan? These are the very typical questions. And yeah, I guess those people, you know, who don't like them, they just get tired of saying the same thing every time. But for me, you know, I switch up my answer. Sometimes I give a fake answer because you do get the question a lot. So I just have fun with it. And I think it's only happened 3 times here. But in Korea, it happened like once a month. And that's where I'd switch it up sometimes. But it was just really, really nice. And she gave me some candy at the end of the ride and said, go on my way. And I don't know, just reminded me of my grandma. You know, I miss family out here. And it's rare you get to talk to like a 90-year-old lady. So I really enjoyed that one. It's quite pleasant.
Yeah, it's always kind of cool when an older person speaks to you in English. And I guess it must have to do with, like, a post-war, you know, occupation.
I would say you're either going to get someone very old who's going to do it, someone who's maybe been drinking.
Yes.
And third, if they're not old or drinking, in my experience, then they're probably kind of weird, like Yuji, or maybe like you have something in common, like you're holding the same bag from like a rare store, and those people would be normal and cool, right? But I've had some like, oh, hey, you know this record too, or whatever, you know, and those are like, you know, the most legit normal people if they're like similar to your age and you have something in common.
I find the people who probably speak the best and will speak the most are typically have a mental handicap of some sort.
yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's not a joke. Yeah. I think it's just what it is. I don't know if it's because they're not as, you know, maybe they don't have that filter that says like, you know, oh, you know, don't speak. But I don't know. They typically speak the best, some of the best English that I've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, this might be really ignorant, but just to me, I just thought, well, they're probably like not as social, you know, and maybe as busy doing stuff as some other people. So they probably have like a lot of time to like get into something or study, and you know, so that they some of them.
I mean, language.
Others,
I imagine, you know, it might have something to do with just like brain function. And when they went to school, they learned a lot of English. You know, they have everybody has English lessons.
Yeah.
So. So they probably just stuck with them, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I it's just a theory. We only have theories. I don't know the exact reason, but...
No one does, I think.
But
my favorite one of yours is coming right down there by that bridge, Kakashi Bridge. You're in that general direction towards Terumi. Do you remember this one?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I like... That's all I remember. I mean, she's old. I know, it's an old lady, right?
Yeah, but there wasn't a lot of English involved at first. I guess what happened was my wife and I were riding our bikes, or riding your bikes, out to the big bridge. And there was a woman with a dog, and she said she was really excited to see us. She was like waving us,
like old friends.
And yeah, like totally happy to see us. And we spoke with her for a moment. We said, oh, hello, you know, and she told us her name, and she was just chatting with us. And then she kept, like, she told us, oh, tea, it's time for tea, you know, like, it'll come with me. And she was really, like, insistent, like, please come with me and, you know, and have some tea with me. And we were kind of like, well, I don't know, it's not something we usually do, you know? It's like
have tea?
But, I mean, it's an old woman with her dog, you know? I mean, what's
she gonna do?
What's the worst that could happen? Well,
let me tell you.
No, we went up to her apartment, and it was real cool. We sat down, she made us some tea and coffee, and we were just drinking tea, and she was playing records for us and stuff. But as it was going, we did start to notice that she probably had dementia.
Yeah.
And she called her granddaughter and was talking on the phone and saying, you know, we have Gaijin here. Can you speak with them? And she was trying to give her the phone. And then she came back to me and said, like, you know, she was saying her granddaughter is coming, you know. Yeah. And this is all in Japanese. We were just trying to piece it together because at the time we hadn't been taking Japanese lessons. Now
you were like I think here for a month, I think.
Yeah. And it was just by everything that I've learned from anime and, you know, movies and stuff. And but we got the gist of it.
Yeah.
And that we were waiting for somebody. And that kind of made us nervous.
Yeah.
And oh man, the woman that came, she was a young woman, maybe in her early 20s, and she was such a downer. She was half French and half Japanese.
I remember that.
And her English was perfect. I mean, she was a fluent English speaker, but she was really depressed. Like, I think for one, I mean, if your grandma brought over strangers, and was entertaining them, then you could potentially be dangerous, right?
Yeah.
That would probably not be a good day for you. But we tried talking with her and tried to liven her up, but she was just really depressed. She said she hated going to high school, and because she's half half Japanese, half
French.
Yeah, Gaijin. So I mean, I felt bad, a little bad about that situation.
Yeah, there was pouring English out life guy. Stories, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah, just this lady you met, and then you're meeting her daughter, hearing about her life as a minority in Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
That I remember that one.
It was a unique
hilarious.
Experience. Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was cool. I mean, afterwards, yeah. I was like, the tea was good.
Yeah, I think I lived there for over a year at that time, and you'd had like two of those in a month, and I was like, that's never happened to me. I think part of it is power in numbers to a certain degree too. Like, I think if you have a ton of foreigners together, you're not going to get approached because that's kind of daunting. But I found that when I'm with you, I think because you had Emily, you know, you'd get a lot. Or my wife could pass as Japanese, you know, from certain angles, I think. People never speak English to Liz. They always start with Japanese with her. So we definitely don't get it very often. Same when we were in Korea. But if I'm alone, all my encounters have definitely happened when I'm not with my wife.
I was always jealous of the encounters that I'd hear, like my friends that would travel. I think I've talked about Fernando's travels.
Yeah, you said his DJ
one before. Oh, he's had some good ones, but I think he is such an outgoing person that you could tell just by looking at him, you know. I mean,
right.
he wants to talk with you. He wants to get to know you.
Yeah, or like you'll have your chances too. Like people will be staring at you because you're different, and you can like say like, "Hey, how's it going?"
Yeah.
Or for me personally, I'll usually just give it a half second and then like look away or look back to my phone. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I could be social at times, but I think just like my nature, I'm kind of an introvert, and I like to do kind of my own thing, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I've come to terms with that in my life.
Yeah.
And I do like talking with people. I do like sitting down and having conversations and things.
Do you have a podcast after all?
I do have a podcast. But it's not something that comes super, super natural. I'm not super outgoing, like outside of, you know, I don't feel that. At least I don't feel that way at times.
Yeah.
Especially going to and from work. I don't really feel like, you know, talking with people,
sure,
it's my time to like shut down and, you know, turn off. You know?
Our jobs, you have to be on, right?
Yeah, you're on all the time.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
It's not like an office job. Well, on that note, let's take a break and we'll come back with some more wild. We're going to get a little wild there with these English. We started tame, so we'll save the best for last.
Tame.
Yes.
Oh boy, what's coming up next?
Back with Know Your Chain, and it's been a while. Today's chain is one of the ones I actually knew about before I came out here, and I was a big fan of this company because they're really expensive outside of Japan, and there's
one of the first ones I went to too.
Still a little pricey here. That chain is
Muji,
and they do a lot. I guess I only knew them for like clothes and furniture, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, being abroad, or in Korea, they really only carried, like, the clothes. They didn't have a lot of, like, the home furnishing stuff. And then they're in New York as well.
I'm trying to think of, like, a Western equivalent, and I guess you could say that IKEA, but it's on a smaller scale.
It's Gap and IKEA mixed together, because they have clothes too, right?
Yeah.
So the clothes people always call it Gap, because Muji means no brand or no name. I guess that's the translation. They're label-less. That's a big thing. Very clean, simple aesthetic. No logos, no frills, just your basics. And it's definitely... The clientele when you go there is very like design savvy people, you know. You don't see a lot of like young high schoolers in there. This definitely attracts like a cooler crowd, like educated looking crowd.
Yeah,
I
usually say like 30-year-old like trendy business people. Maybe they work at like a something a little cooler than just your average, you know, salaryman
in the design place, field somehow, or like artsy, you know. And they sell Muji sells everything from curry to pots and pans, to
organizers.
Yeah, to t-shirts, to
I bought flashcards for studying Japanese.
Yeah. Some stores are really small. For example, they have like a little section in every Family Mart and you can buy their pens. And for me, like,
oh, that's so cool when you go to a Family Mart that has it.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them do. I'd say about half. And, like cosmetics, I would always like be very particular about like the shampoo and face wash and stuff I bought. But I started thinking like, oh, I don't know, do I really need to spend this much money on that stuff? And like Muji's pretty good. And I was looking up like reviews.
Yeah, you should use their stuff.
I was looking up reviews like Muji moisturizer and face wash and hair stuff. And like it had crazy reviews and people were coming from all over the world to Japan to buy this and like sell it to people. And I was like, huh, like I can just walk down the street in my little town and buy the same product. Like, all right, I'll try it. And for the last like 6 months or so, I've converted to like all Muji products, and it's probably like a quarter of what I used to pay for stuff.
Really?
It's really cheap.
Wow. Yeah, I've been looking for a new shampoo, so that's actually a really good tip. Yeah.
They're really big on their water for all their cosmetics. That's their big thing, is they get water from like some natural spring mountain. And so if you think about it, like 80% of all cosmetics or 90% are the water. And then they add stuff into the water, right? But they're all like liquid.
Yeah.
So they're saying like people overlook their water source. Huh. There's a lot of English. That's a good thing about Muji, because they are international. You know, they have stores all over the world. You can find like English translations, everything. And they're very big on like why they do stuff. They have a lot of philosophies behind them. It's a really, really cool company. Yeah, IKEA's, because IKEA's like design savvy, right? But the quality is pretty cheap. Muji quality is definitely a step up from IKEA. I wouldn't say it's out of this world, you know? It's not going to last you your lifetime or anything.
I would say some of their designs are pretty boring, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, and it's very, very...
very plain, like I was saying, but almost too plain sometimes.
Yeah, like a lot of the closet organizers and stuff are just... Mm. I mean, it's just like that transparent plastic, you know?
Yeah.
Not. I mean, maybe it'll last you a really long time. I don't have any of their shelving or anything, but... But to me, sometimes it looks plain, but I mean, for a lot of things, it's really great. Like I said, stationaries are good, forks and spoons, you know, like cutlery and stuff is pretty cheap.
Yeah. I really like their cafes. Have you ever eaten there?
I have not.
They're good. Not the one I live by and I'm most familiar with is actually like the worst one I've been to. There's many levels of them. They all look different. You know, I'll be like, whoa, is that the same? It can't be a Muji cafe. That's got to be something else.
Yeah.
There's an awesome one in Umeda. It's not in the main like high rise we go to. It's kind of like in the secondary one closer to Nakatsu Station. And that one is just incredible. It's huge. It's the nicest Muji I've ever seen. And their cafe is great. It's got like craft beers and stuff. And the food's all super healthy. You have to assume like local and organic. And price points at Muji are... You know, they're not cheap, but they're not expensive.
It's average, I would say. You know, I think you could go to Nitori, which is also sells like they're also like an IKEA generic.
Save them for a future New Year's Day.
But I think the prices are just a little more expensive than that place.
I would say it's like a third more than Nitori. Yep.
And I don't think they're really gouging you. And clothing, if you want like just plain shirts and, you know, plain pants, that's really what they sell. Plain shirts and stuff. It's pretty cheap. Not that bad.
If you have a non-Japanese body type, the fits are a little bit weird. So like Matt and I are pretty tall and lanky. I've gone there. I don't think I've ever bought their clothes, but I always see them and I actually really like their clothes. But they're always short and wide for me, which can be a general problem sometimes with Japanese brands out here if you are tall. But for me, I like their clothing designs, but it fits a little off for me personally.
Yeah, I haven't bought much from them. I think socks once and maybe a robe or something.
Okay.
Just basic, real basic stuff. But I do. But there is something I do buy from them all the time, and I highly recommend. It's their popcorn. They sell a popcorn. It's Gouda flavored.
Is that Family Mart?
Popcorn. I haven't seen it at Family Mart. I only see it at the Muji stores.
Okay.
So whenever I go to the Muji, we used to have one in Tennoji that I think just recently moved, and to Namba maybe. And that one, I used to go in there all the time and buy
They always play Celtic music. I'm not sure what's up with that, because it, I don't know, it's like a pretty Japanese store. But they always, maybe they're, some of their materials, like the wools and stuff, come from there. Yeah. I don't know, but that's, I thought it was like a one-off, you know, like, all right, this,
Pagans.
Is, this is Celtic month or whatever, but it's been going on for years now. And then the thing that drew me to Muji originally, back when I lived in the States, was that they had a pair of cardboard speakers. You could fold them down, like it flat, and then pop them up, and they still worked. And I've never actually seen them. I think they like discontinued them before I got out here.
Probably caught fire.
But I'm always hoping they come back. I'm sure the quality's horrible, yeah. But they were like $10 or $20. I don't know.
Yeah, so for that price, it's worth it.
If those ever come back, yeah, I'm going to buy them.
Yeah. So I'll keep an eye out for those too. That sounds cool. Yeah. Some of their pre-cooking stuff is really cool too. I mean, they got like brownies and cookies,
yeah,
and like a whole bunch of the mixes that sometimes are hard to come by in Japan. So for like foreigners living here that are looking for like Betty Crocker kind of stuff, yeah, sure, you need to use Google Translate to translate the instructions. Yeah, but yeah, if you know what you're doing, it's not that bad.
A Korean friend came out here to buy like camping, what do you call them? Like the
Coleman
propane tank from Muji. I was like, he's like, I gotta go to Muji and get these. So those are apparently good. Anyway, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Finish up English conversation. So yeah, check out Muji. Again, if you are in outside of Japan, they are still available. I think they have like a web store, you know, you can do. So Muji's awesome.
And they're also in major cities across Japan. So if you come and visit, yeah, you know, yeah, you find your the Muji near you.
Check out Muji. Know your Muji.
Everybody say no. What's the problem now?
We are back, and we're staring down a police boat that has police written in English and the Japanese flag on the back of it.
Yeah, they're going to bust something.
At a very slow pace. So. Yeah. Anyway, we're here to, we save the best English conversations for last. I'll just go. I only have one. I think you have like two, right?
Yeah,
one,
I have two.
All right, so... Why don't you go first and I'll be in the middle then, yeah.
So I'm going to try to play a clip of this one. I'm going to go back in my archives and see if I still have this. But there was one night where my wife and I were going to play some Pokemon Go in the park. There's a park that's nearby our house. And there were a group of high school students. And they were really hopped up on caffeine or something. And they wanted to talk with us so badly. That they're actually, they started a rap battle in our honor.
Yeah, with each other or with you?
They told us that they were rappers and that they knew how to like rap and stuff. And they said, oh, we're going to rap with you. We're going to rap for you. And our friend here, and they kept pointing to the one that looked the zaniest.
Yeah.
And they were like, this guy.
Do you think it's because I knew you're the unitablist?
I wish they knew I was the unitablist. Nobody knows I'm the unitablist. Right. But, but basically, they started rapping and dancing for us. Okay. It was totally bizarre. We were just
bad.
Trying to like
bad, right?
We were just trying to relax, and these kids just would not stop. They could not stop talking with us, and they were telling us about, you know, how they hate school and how the teacher, and actually I think their teacher was probably quite possibly somebody I used to work with, and how they hate their English teacher at the school. And I said, well, who would you want as your English teacher, this guy or me? And they were like, you. And it was just such a bizarre thing. And you don't usually meet like
aggressive? They're loud?
Yeah, they were kind of aggressive. Yeah, yeah. You know how in the old anime they're the boys that have like the pompadours,
yeah,
and
yonky,
like the
yonky
kind of yonky, but like the high school kids,
yeah,
that like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
don't wear their their uniforms, yeah, right, yeah, and stuff. This is exactly what that was.
Squatting,
it was like five or six
around.
Oh, they were,
yeah,
squatting, and they were drinking juice cans and throwing them behind them, and they had like everything, all the stereotypes, like, you know, a piece of grass coming out of their mouth, mm-hmm, or something. I don't even know where they got the grass from. It was weird.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, it ended up being kind of fun, and I recorded some of it, so hopefully I can insert some of it. here for you guys, but
yeah, my name is Hayashi Keita. Oh, I like so Japanese. Yo, Japan, I like Japanese. Yo, uchi no daihyo aso sorry janai. Yo, yokomoji. Go to America. Yo, I like hamburger.
But yeah, that was one of my best experiences. And those kids, their English wasn't half bad. They got around to saying a lot of curse words and stuff that, you know. So,
speaking of curse words,
this one sounds good.
Just a few days ago, have I told you about it?
No, I don't know. This is a new story for me.
Yeah. My sister-in-law had a friend she knew from back home who's moving out here, and just super excited to be in Japan, especially be living here. And I love meeting people when they come to Japan who are excited to be here, because it takes me back, you know, to my first days here, and it's so exciting, you know, especially if it was at one of the top places in the world you wanted to go to, you know, and you're finally out here. So this guy was, you know, very, very excited to be here. And he's asking me a lot of, like, things he read on the internet, the kind of general questions that a normal person would ask, you know. And a lot of them I was saying, like, nah, you know, I've lived here 3 years. That's happened, like, once, you know. I think maybe it was about racism or something. I can't remember. But an hour later, you know, after I'm kind of deflecting all these, like, normal things, and the English conversation, you know, is kind of one of those that comes up a lot, he gets a tap on his shoulder on the subway, and I'm just thinking, like, oh man, it's an older guy too. And I don't know, he was kind of a reddish glow, but later I found out I think he was just really tan. Like, I think he has an outdoor job, you know, about 80 years old. So I thought he was drunk. I was like, I'm kind of tired, I don't want to deal with this. I'll just let this other guy, hopefully. Yeah. It's kind of a jerk move, someone who's new to the country, you know. And after like 20 seconds of talking, he taps me on the shoulder and is like, hey, this guy needs help. And I was like, okay. We're like, what does he need? And he goes, he wants to know what the F word means. And I was like, oh god, like, poor
the Japanese guy wants to know what the
F word. I'm like, oh, this poor guy, this Japanese guy's probably telling him to, like, F off, you know.
Yeah.
And he's probably met, like, this irate racist old guy, and like, this poor, you know, nice guy is like thinking he wants to know what it means. All right, I'll go over here and, like, sort this out. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to, like, you know, like, just apologize to the guy and walk away kind of thing. Like, take the higher ground, you know?
Right.
And he's got a big smile on his face, and I walk over there. And he's like, oh, yes, please tell me, I'll slightly edit it, what does F-U mean? And he's saying it, like, really loud, you know? And I'm just, like, I'm just kind of staring at him, trying to assess the situation.
Yeah, yeah, like, why was he doing this?
And he just looks at me and just, like, Do you know? Do you know? Can you tell me? What does F-U mean? And he's saying it out, you know, fully. And I'm just like, it can mean a lot of things. And he's like, is it okay to ask you? What does it mean? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, okay, make love, right? It means to make love. And I was like, yeah, that's my favorite meaning. Yep, that's the one. And okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I go and sit down, and I was like, oh, that doesn't happen every day. And the guy was just kind of loving it, you know. He's like, oh, man, like, that's unreal. And I was like, yeah, honestly, you know, been here 4 years. This rarely happens, especially not that. And I was like, I don't know if the dude... It's hard to say how good his English was because he said such few words, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely had a strong accent. Was it a joke or not? I don't know. So 4 minutes, 5 minutes later go by. The guy I'm with gets another tap on his shoulder. I'm just thinking, like, oh, man.
What's next?
Well, yeah, what's next? Like, where's this going to go? Is he just going to say the same thing again or what? And this time the guy I'm with is laughing a little bit more, you know? And he goes, all right, this time it's break wind. I was like, what? And he goes, and I stand up again, and I'm like, to break wind? And he goes, yes, I know break means to come apart, and I know wind is like, but how can you break the wind? I don't understand it. Can you tell me? And I'm just dying, like, bending down, laughing, causing a scene at this point. Because this old guy is talking to two foreigners, you know, we both look very non-Asian. You know, and I'm just dying. I can't contain it. I'm laughing out loud so hard at this point.
Why?
And then he's laughing too. And he's like, is it bad? Is it bad again? Sorry. He's like, sorry about F-U. Is this one bad too? And I'm like, no, not really. And I don't know how to say like fart or pass gas in Japanese. So I type it in the Google Translate and I show him. And then he starts busting out laughing so hard. But he had to have known.
Yeah, yeah.
I think both of them.
He's just getting a response from Gaijin.
I think so. It's hard to say. Because, I mean, just think about all the ones you could ask. Both of those are such kind of funny, extreme things to ask, right? Yeah. Neither of them were normal.
Yeah.
So then I sat down after we have a good laugh together. I'm like, all right. Well, the guy at least like isn't just total. I mean, that's kind of like an innocent one.
Yeah, because it could have been. It could have been
something sexual again, or something.
Or,
yeah.
Or something like, you know, like he was racist, trying to say like, yeah, yeah. We're. Because, like, national, I hear nationalists sometimes. We kind of had one situation where...
Yeah, yeah. I think he had been drinking, and he's just... I don't know. But when we leave, he stands up and, like, I don't know if it was, like, a salute, but just a very formal maybe bow. I mean, I was kind of just in disbelief. And I was like, I very much appreciate your help. Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate you. He's so grateful. And just... Big smile, really warm, like, I don't know. In hindsight,
maybe you were on a comedian show. Like,
that's,
you know,
what the guy I was with was like, where are the cameras? Where are the cameras? You know, like, I can't. And he wrote this long write-up of it. Yeah, he posted it on Facebook. And it was exactly as I remembered it, you know? And I was like, okay, yeah. That was real. That really happened like that. So that was great. That was very recent. So that'd be a tough one for me to top. But you're a big one.
Yeah.
You're multiple. We've had multiple.
Oh, it's a consistent thing. It's part of my daily life. No, it's not daily life, but every time I go to the park, every time I go to this park in my neighborhood, I have this issue, and it's an issue. Yeah. There's a guy he's always at this park that's near our house, and my wife and I, we were so happy to have this park. It's such a cool place. It's a good place for running. It's a good place to take families, take their kids. They're playing on the playground. You know, it's a great place to have a little picnic. But these days we have to go there with our eyes peeled because there's this guy and he's not usually that difficult to spot. He's a bigger gentleman, which is kind of rare in Japan. And, one day we were walking around the park and we heard, "Where are you from?" It was, you know, common, like he said, it's a common thing to hear. And so we started talking with him, and his English was excellent, like so good. And he was like, "Oh, where are you from?" And I said, "Oh, we're from, you know, originally from California and all this stuff." And he just kept talking with us, but...
could you tell it was... going weird?
Well, I mean, he seemed like an odd character anyways. He had like his shirt was barely, you know, covering everything. Oh, okay. And he's a kind of obese.
Big guy with small clothes.
Yeah. Obese by even like Western standards. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he just started talking to us. He said that he spent time in the United States and that he used to live there for a long time. But as the conversation went on, it started becoming more disjointed and more kind of unnerving. Like, his English was good, but his mind was losing track of, like, what he was saying. So a lot of times he'd say things like, he was talking about movies a lot, and he'd say, "Oh, you know how people, they like Tom Cruise, but, you know, they don't like Tom Cruise, and people hate for no reason, and..." It started getting darker and less cohesive as time went on. And as we were listening, like, we started hearing things that we didn't like. Like, it sounded like...
He was getting angry.
Like, well, not that, but he was projecting, like, maybe our thoughts on some of the things that he... Like, we couldn't tell what,
like,
he was implying.
Like, you guys like Tom Cruise.
Right.
You're part of the problem.
Like, well, he was saying, like, you know, some people don't like people because, you know what I mean? And they, you know, they don't like them because they talk funny or they're from a weird place and stuff like that. And then, which started kind of making it sound like he was talking about himself, people don't like me and stuff. And then he was saying, because they're too good looking and they're too, you know, and, You know what I mean? And this was a conversation we had, and it was just kept going and going and going. The first time we talked with him, we probably talked with him for about 30 minutes. And
he was doing most of the talking, right?
He was doing most of the talking, and I just kept... I'm from Los Angeles area. You know, I know how to deal with, like, you know, these guys that just come up to you and just start chit-chatting with you. So I've had a lot of experience. So usually I just, you know, I ask them, you know, new questions and stuff to kind of get off of, like, weird topics that you don't really want to get into. And it was working pretty good, but it just, you know, wasn't stopping. And I just started feeling really uncomfortable. Like, I didn't like the stuff that he was talking about.
Because you like Tom Cruise.
Because I like Tom Cruise. That's right. Because he's good looking and other people aren't.
Yeah.
I won't mention who. But but there were like a lot of, I don't know. I just, once we were done with the conversation, I was like, man, that got really weird. But little did I know, the guy would be at the park every time, almost every time we go back. And every time he sees us, he raises his hand and he shouts our names. He's like, Matt, hey, how you doing, man? And
What's his name?
I don't know if I should mention it.
That should give you...
But we'll just call him James, okay? Right. And the guy, James, is, you know, he always wants to talk with us and stuff. And we have this code now. So when we see him, we say code orange, because one day he was wearing this bright orange shirt that, like I said, barely fit him. But, his English is great.
Just
he obviously has some mental health issues, And I feel sorry for him. He has a little wiener dog, and the wiener dog looks really happy. So maybe he's just... He just can't cohesively, you know, form sentences and stuff.
I think the fact he's at the park every day probably means he's doesn't have a job.
He doesn't have anything else going on. And I mean, nowadays I'll still stop by. I still talk with him for about, just exchange pleasantries. Because if he does hold a grudge or something, you know, I don't want to have, like, any issues with him. Yeah, so I try to be friendly and say, how you doing? How's your dog, you know? Yeah. And so it's a good thing he has a dog, because you can get a lot of conversation. the dog was judging me, James.
Well,
I actually have recorded some of his conversations as well, and so I'll check to see if I have some of those recordings, and if I do, maybe I'll add a few of those inside the podcast. I feel kind of sorry though. Maybe I won't add his stuff.
Kids in.
I'll put the kids in for sure. Yeah. I'm gonna try to do that, but I don't know. Like, I feel bad because if it is true, you know, it might be something the guy struggles with. Know. And I'm not trying to make fun of it. You know, a lot of people have their own struggles, you know. And
on that note, English conversations in Japan, the ups and downs, some people love them, some people hate them. You have good ones, you have bad ones, but it's definitely a thing. You should be aware of it. Even if you're traveling out here for a week or two, you might get it.
Yeah, you might leave thinking, wow, there's really no English in Japan. Because depending on your situation depending where you end up.
Yeah, I would guess the further out of the city you are, the more you're going to get it, too. Maybe that's part of why I don't have it that often is, you know, we live in big cities. I remember reading stories that, like, if you're in the country, people will pet your arms and things like that. So, But... yeah, let us know. Have you had a good English chat? Tweet us.
Yeah, you can get us on Twitter. We're Japan 2.0. We're on Facebook, Japan 2.0. Instagram. And guess what? It's Japan 2.0.
Yeah, it is. We stay consistent.
Yeah. Check out our Instagram. We're always posting cool stuff over there. We're getting new followers all the time. We have a lot of new listeners.
We do.
So
we've sorted out some of our tech problems.
Yeah,
we didn't know how to tag our podcast, so it was really hard to find in iTunes. Now you can just search some pretty easy terms, you know, like Japanese you know, hip hop or Japanese food or restaurants, and our podcast will come up pretty easily.
Yeah, we're making steps, so it's, yeah,
we're trying to get to
find more more listeners.
If you're not an Apple person and you have to go through like our blog to listen to us, we're gonna try to make that easier too. No promises, but we're trying to get on the Google Play and Stitcher, which I think is better for Windows people or just even Apple people who don't like iTunes.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're making steps. Yeah. Be patient.
If you have stuck with us this long and haven't realized that we're not tech savvy, well, we got news for you.
We're busy people. You know, we're tech savvy. We just don't have the time to research everything.
One of our friends and biggest listeners, our friend Julie, she was like, yeah, man, I really like your podcast. I wish you guys were still doing it. And I was like, we religiously release every 2 weeks. You know, we're really good about it.
It's the most regular podcast.
Yeah, we're really good. And then I was like, oh, I've been doing it for a long time. And she's like, there's an update. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, we had this problem. And, yeah, it was about a year ago or 8 months ago, we had to switch over our feeds. So that's why our art still says, like, new feed. And we've submitted a new art, but iTunes is really bad about it. So
Yeah.
I've done it twice. I've done it twice now.
And they're not doing it. Still there. Yeah. Apple doesn't get back to you on tech stuff either. No, no. Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's new for us. Thanks for listening.
Share with your friends.
Yeah.
Rate us on iTunes.
We wanted to choose music this episode that had, you know, we always use Japanese artists. We're trying to promote Japanese music. Needs more love, I think, and there's a lot of quality out there. But my only request for this one was we wanted one with English lyrics, a Japanese group that was singing in English. And Matt has a good one. Tell you all about the Zubombs.
Yeah. Well, we've had a Zubomb song. I think our second episode did a Zubomb song. And Zubombs are great. They're a rock band out of Japan. I've seen them live, and they have like a real like garage kind of feel to them.
Yeah.
They're kind of considered Shibuya K, but I think they cross genres. I think say they probably consider themselves more like rock or
I'd call them garage rock for sure.
Garage rock, yeah. But they do hip hop songs too.
Yeah, funk.
Yeah, funk hip hop rap songs. And they're not all this style, but they're
Those are the best songs, some of my favorites.
Yeah. And this one's called Bombs the Bomb.
Bombs the Bomb.
Yeah, and it's my wife's favorite Zubomb song. And I got this on vinyl just recently. Mm-hmm. And I actually got it from the United States, which is kind of ironic. Yeah.
Do you know any of the English lyrics besides Bombs the Bomb? Any highlights we should look forward to?
I do know some of the lyrics. I'm trying to think of it right now. You're putting it on me.
I can edit
spot.
It. You can take your time. I plan to do this episode anyway. So
everybody's got a Bombs the Bomb now. there's one.
What is Bombs the Bomb? Please write us, and maybe we'll read the best answer on our next show.
Oh yeah,
Bombs the Bomb.
Yeah, Bombs the Bomb.
I have my answer.
I think
it means doing a number two.
yeah, that's good. Yeah. Everybody wants to bomb the bomb now.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to do it. Once a day.
Well,
you think about that.
I don't know. The lyrics are actually kind of hard to hear, but they are all in English. All right. And you will be able to get that from just like listening.
Well, you got 2 weeks before we record next, so let us know.
Yeah.
What is Bombs the Bomb and decipher the other lyrics.
Yeah.
All right.
Until next time.
Doot, 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 doot.
Doot, doot. Yeah.
Shinji the music?
Okay.
Okay. Mm. DJ. お前らたりてるかスパイスがそんな感じこのビート上は簡単お前らダンガンで俺がやるぜダンガンまるでスナイパーライフルで言うところのそうエルクロカよこんな感じまるで傭兵部族よ俺がそううんネタ切れでもやってくぜこんなもんよおこれがジャパニーズラップだぜ